Would you please now take your Bibles and turn to Zechariah chapter 5? I'll be reading from verses 5 through 11. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then the angel who talked with me came forward and said to me, "Lift your eyes and see what this is that is going out." And I said, "What is it?" He said, "This is the basket that is going out." And he said, "This is their iniquity in all the land." And behold, the leaden cover was lifted, and there was a woman sitting in the basket. And he said, "This is wickedness." And he thrust her back into the basket and thrust down the leaden weight on its opening. Then I lifted my eyes and saw, and behold, two women coming forward. The wind was in their wings. They had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the basket between earth and heaven. Then I said to the angel who talked with me, "Where are they taking the basket?" He said to me, "To the land of Shinar, to build a house for it. And when this is prepared, they will set the basket down there on its base." I remind you that this is God's holy and inspired word. It contains all that we need for faith and for life. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord abides forever. Let's once again pray. Oh, we thank you for your most holy and inspired word. We ask that you would make this a lamp unto our feet. The word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. Please equip us by this acquaintance or this word from which I provide the sermon. Please make it accompany us for every good work. We ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. This is a vision of three women. The first woman is called wickedness, or better yet, evil. She represents the evil that has overtaken the land of Jerusalem. This coincides with the vision of the flying scroll and the statement that a curse will go out over the whole land and God will clean and purify them of any thievery or perjury that is committed, especially in the name of the Lord. This woman represents wickedness that has infected Jerusalem. The second vision is of two other women. We are not given their names, but they come and take the woman named Wickedness out of the land of Israel and take wickedness to Babylon where it belongs. This is a summary of what I am going to preach on in this sermon. With that summary in place, we now come to the doctrine of the text, which is this: by faith, God offers to satisfy our guilt, to cleanse us, and carry away our wickedness. By faith, God offers to satisfy our guilt, cleanse us, and carry away our wickedness. This should sound familiar. This should sound so familiar. It is only through Christ that God satisfies our guilt. It is only in Christ that our sins are covered and cleansed. And it is only through faith in Christ that our sins are carried away. This doctrine should seem so familiar to us. But I get ahead of myself. I need to prove this from the text. In this vision, I would like to divide this text up into two headings. One, the wicked woman, and two, the two women. So, one, the wicked woman, and two, the two women. First, the wicked woman. In this heading, wickedness is personified as a woman. This vision is intimately connected with the previous vision of the flying scroll. Most scholars indicate this by similar verbiage and wording of these two visions. Verse 3 says, "It is the curse that goes out over all the land." And verse 6 says similarly, "This is their iniquity that goes out over all the land." Verse 3, God says that the curse will be cleaned out among the people of Jerusalem. In this vision, verse 10 and 11, it is implied that wickedness will be cleaned out. Verse 4 speaks of a house, and similarly, in verse 11, the angel speaks of a house. So I will connect these two visions simultaneously, the vision of the flying scroll and the wicked woman. Those things being said, we begin our exposition at verse 5. Then the angel who talked with me came forward and said to me, "Lift up your eyes and see what this is that is going out." And I said, "What is it?" This implies that Zechariah has seen this vision but couldn't make it out. The angel of the Lord isn't frustrated with Zechariah this time. He was frustrated in chapter 4, but because this vision is bizarre. The angel responded in verse 6. He said, "This is the basket that is going out." And he said, "This is their iniquity in all the land. And behold, the leaden cover was lifted, and a woman was sitting in the basket." And he said, "This is wickedness." I have 4 points under this heading. First, the basket. Second, cover. Third, wickedness. And four, thrust. So one, basket. Two, cover. Three, wickedness. And four, thrust. First, the wicked woman is said to be in a basket. Other translations render this ephah, and this is the literal translation. An ephah was for weighing grain or wheat or barley or some other kind of material. It can also be some form of wicker material, such as a basket. It is fair to say that this is a basket, and this basket was normally 5 gallons. This basket was normally 5 gallons. Verse 6 continues. And he said, "This is the iniquity in all the land." There's a textual problem here. How to translate this iniquity, because most Hebrew manuscripts say "I" or "appearance." The problem is one of a Hebrew letter that distinguishes the translation and whether it is "I" or "transgression." You can see how Hebrew scribes copying by hand could be mixed up by one letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Separated by "I" or "transgression," its name is "Ayin" or "Avon." They look very similar on the written page. But most English translations render it "iniquity." And I will go with this. I think this makes great sense with the former vision. Verse 3, the curse goes over the whole land, because in verse 6, this is said to be iniquity that goes out over the whole land. I does not fit so well. So I will take this as the proper translation. The next point falls under this heading, to cover. Cover. Verse 7, and behold, the leaden cover was lifted. This is said to cover the basket which contains the wicked woman. A lead cover was far too heavy for a wicker basket. It would be like a metal covering on a drinking straw. The metal is far too heavy for the drinking straw. Similarly, this would be far too heavy for a wicker basket. The leaden cover may be indicating that God is restraining the people in Jerusalem from wickedness, or as locked up in a prison, as if they are not as wicked as they could be. Or this may symbolize that the people of Jerusalem may not have known about the wickedness that they are being judged for. Whatever the case, the wickedness which is revealed, the wickedness that is being revealed infects the people of Jerusalem and needs to be gotten rid of for the Lord of God to dwell in their temple. Thirdly, the woman's name is wicked. The woman's name is wicked. Verse 7 continues, the leaden cover was lifted, and there was a woman sitting in the basket. And he said, this is wickedness. The leaden lid was lifted, and up pops a woman. Zechariah probably was confused by this, but the angel goes on to speak of her name, which is wickedness. The woman is called wickedness. She is personified as wickedness. There are many different explanations of how she is wicked. Some say that her wickedness comes in the form of idolatry, or moral or ceremonially wickedness, or ill-gotten gain. And some people connect it with the previous vision. They were being judged by the fact that they were stealing and taking the Lord's name in vain. I believe this is only speculation, because the angel doesn't explain this in the text. We must conclude, I think, that this is wickedness in general. This is evil in general. Wickedness can also be translated evil. And this, I believe, that we should conclude. This evil or wickedness is contrary to righteousness. Barry Webb observes, quote, an ephah of grain was equivalent to approximately 5 gallons. No normal-sized woman could sit in an ephah, even if, for some unaccountable reason, someone wanted to put her there. So the image of the woman in an ephah is doubly grotesque, an absurd distortion of reality, as evil always is, of course. Do you see what he is saying? Wickedness is always a distortion of the people made in God's image. It is always a perversion of this woman who is personified as wickedness. And that is, as Webb said, grotesque. The fourth and final point is thrust. Verse 8 continues, and he thrust her back into the basket and thrust down the leaden weight upon it. God threw into the basket. God threw her back into the basket and threw the weight upon it, symbolizing that God would throw wickedness violently in the basket. This is what God does to sin. He thrusts wickedness of his people back into the basket of evil. He throws it back from God's people. He shows this people indelible mercy. But not only does he throw it back in the basket, he completely clears it away. We must deal with sin the way that God does. We must deal with sin the way that God does. We must handle it violently. We must thrust it back in the metaphorical basket. Remember what I said last time. Sin threatens to destroy yourselves, your spouse, your children, and beyond. It threatens to destroy the whole house. We must be mortifying it. We must deal with wickedness violently. As John Owen famously said, be killing sin or it will be killing you. So you must thrust it down. Do not let it into your house. And this brings us to our second heading. The two women. Verse 9. Then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, two women coming forward. The wind was in their wings. They had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the basket between earth and heaven. I have 3 points under this heading. 1, two women. 2, taken away. And 3, taken to. The first point is two women. This perhaps is symbolic of the number of women who needed to overtake, the women needed to overtake wickedness. Or perhaps, as in the ancient Near East, the wind and the wings symbolized angelic beings. This would make particular sense, for they carry the basket between heaven and earth. And often angelic beings were human in form. But whatever it was, these were no ordinary women. The second point is taken away. Verse 9b, they had wings of a stork. The stork was a migratory bird that flew north in the wintertime. And they lifted up the basket, presumably which still had personified wicked inside of it, and carried it away from the people of Jerusalem between earth and heaven. Another explanation, if they had stork's wings, storks were unclean animals, according to Leviticus 11:19, so that they would be an appropriate animal to carry away unrighteous things and to make the Jews clean again. The last point under this heading is, where are they taking it to? Verse 10 says, then I said to the angel who talked with me, where are they taking the basket? He said to me, the land of Shinar, to build a house for it. He asked a natural question. If they are taking it from the Jewish people, where are they taking it to? And the angel said, to the land of Shinar. This is in the place of Mesopotamia that contains Babylon, Enar, and Akkad. Most likely, this is reference is in reference to Babylon, where the text most likely is drawing our attention to, and the episode of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. Turn there if you'd like. Verses 1 and 2 say, "Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as the people migrated east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there." Verse 4. "Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth.'" Now, what is the problem with this? It is completely in contrast to God's creation mandate. God said to man, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And they were saying the exact opposite. They built a ziggurat that they intended to reach to the heavens. This was the land of Shinar, which contained Babel as a precursor to the land of Babylon. Returning to the vision in Zechariah, the angel of the Lord said to build a house for it. Wickedness and evil is the place for one city, Babylon. And the house that is planned is to build for it an idolatrous house of worship. In verse 11b, "And when this is prepared, they will set the basket down on its base." This was intended to be a place of idolatrous worship. As if to say, the woman wickedness will be taken away to Shinar or to Babylon. It will be taken away from the people of God and will reside in Babylon where it belongs. Having given an exposition of this text, this leads us to our application section. And I have three applications for you this evening: rebuke, deliverance, and response. The wickedness is said to be among the covenant people. It is said to be among the people of Jerusalem, among the people of Judah, among the people of Zion, among the people of the church, the visible church. And oh, how lamentable this is, that this indicates that wickedness is not reserved for the people of the world, for the world out there, or sinners. It is not said to be over there, but in here, in the walls of this visible church, amongst the covenant people of God. But God exposes our wickedness so that we can repent of it. The covenant people, the invisible church, can only and will ever repent. This is only by the gracious operations of the Holy Spirit, who comes and regenerates us and convinces us of our sin and misery and speaks that we need to be converted. The way in which you discern this is repentance and faith in Christ. We have many sins to repent of, both corporately and individually. We have so many. As Martin Luther famously said, all of life is repentance. More and more, as you come to experience the grace of God, more and more do you feel unworthy of that grace. Remember Romans 2:4. It is the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. It is indeed a grace and a mercy and a kindness of God that He would lead us to repentance. But we cry out, as Paul does in Romans 7. Who will save me from this body of death? But we also think of Paul's words when he says, "Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ." It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved from this body of death, sin, and wickedness. There is a second application. It is this: deliverance. Deliverance. I have 3 points under this application: guilt, cleansing, and carried away. Guilt, cleansing, and carried away. First, guilt. In Christ, God communicates our redemption in the cross far better than the vision of the flying scroll or the wicked woman. In the vision of the flying scroll, God sends a curse on all the lawbreakers. We are all lawbreakers. In this vision, the wicked woman is said to be locked up as if under a prison. But God communicates this exceedingly better in the vision of Christ's crucifixion. And God satisfies the curse of the law in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh and satisfied the law in our place. In Galatians 3:10, it says, "All who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by the things written in the book of law and do them.'" Verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that dies on a tree." Christ, by his once offering for death, by his once and for all offering of death, has been cursed for believers. God put forward Christ to be a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. God is not wrathful to believers anymore if we receive Christ by faith. Isn't this awe-inspiring? Isn't this awe-inspiring that if you have been justified by Christ, Romans 5:1 says, you have peace with God. Peace with God when you formerly had guilt. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you have been justified by faith in him, grants us peace with God. Not by silver or gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. The second point is cleansing. Cleansing. Zechariah, in the vision of the flying scroll, says, "Everyone who steals shall be cleaned out, and everyone who swears falsely by my name will be cleaned or purged out." In this vision, the wicked woman, God is said to thrust her wickedness back from the people of Jerusalem, as an indication that they would be purged from their wickedness. God communicates exceedingly better in the person and work of Jesus Christ. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:7-8, "Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. And you are really unleavened, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been slain. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with old leaven, that leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." We were evil and wicked formerly. But all that has changed if we have been washed with the blood of the Passover lamb. Therefore, we have been cleansed. Let us cleanse ourselves by participating with the Holy Spirit to cease from all evil and malice and worship the Lord with sincerity and truth. Stand in awe of your great deliverance in Christ Jesus. Believers have been cleansed from all and any wickedness. We have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. As Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come, let us reason together," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall become white as snow. Though your sins are like crimson, they shall be like wool." Stand in amazement at the redemption purchased by Christ. Stand in amazement. Isn't this amazing? Isn't this amazing that God would clean out, wash away all of our sin and wickedness? The third point is, carries away, or carried away. If it were not enough for God to satisfy our guilt, or having been cleansed by the person and work of Christ. But God promises another thing. God promises through Christ that all our wickedness has been carried away. "For as high as the heavens are above," declares the Lord, "so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgression from us." This is confirmed in the words of John the Baptist when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who carries away the sins of the world." Isn't it awe-inspiring to think of this, that our wickedness, that our sins have been carried away? He has carried away all our wickedness. Stand in awe at this gracious work of God. Third, response. Stand in awe, O believers, of this great deliverance. The only thing left for you to do is respond. Respond to this great deliverance. And if you are an unbeliever, if you have never called upon God through faith in Christ Jesus, you need to do it now. I am persuaded by God's word that not all in this room are Christians. I really hope so. I really hope so. But I am not so naive to think that everyone in this room is really and truly a Christian. If you have never come to Christ by faith, come now. Be assured that Christ satisfies your guilt before God so that we might have peace with God. Be assured that Christ cleanses us from every sin and every wickedness. Be assured that Christ carries away your sins as far as the east is from the west. Then we can sing all in unison with the great hymn of Horatius Bonner, "I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. I bring my guilt to Jesus to wash my crimson stains, white in his blood most precious, till not a spot remains." Will you come to Jesus now? Will believers come to Jesus again and again and again? Let us bow to the Lord in prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing this vision of Zechariah. It communicates all sorts of gospel fruits. You cleanse us from our guilt. You wipe away our sins. Awe-inspiring, magnificent, that you satisfy our guilt. Wash away our sins and take them away. Marvelous. And we pray that you will set that upon our hearts. The great deliverance that is only in Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.